This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. The legislature is considering a package of bills that would give the state power to step in and manage a municipality's budget if the local government doesn't have a way to fully fund pension plans. That's a little more heavy-handed than a five-step plan a governor's task force recommended. Here to talk about that are Vicki Barnett, a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator, and Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow with Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican majority leader in the state Senate. Vicki, some police and firefighters rallied on the Capitol lawn this week against some of the aspects of this package of bills. If the intent is to safeguard their pensions, why are they opposed to this?
I think they're opposed to some of the processes being used to hamstring local governments in terms of funding the retiree health care portion and the requirements of retiree health care portion, as well as the pension. We all want to make sure that we live up to our obligations. And that was part of the reason that we have to now include on our local financial statements all of the unfunded accrued liability for both retiree health care and other post-retirement benefits called OPEB, as well as the retirement system. So they want to protect it, want to make sure that cities don't go into bankruptcy and have to cut benefits that they were promised.
Okay, so the Constitution requires a pension, but that doesn't say anything about requiring health care for. That's a negotiated item between the unions and the municipalities. So it looks like they could start chipping away at health care to save the pension. Is that what we're talking about?
I think that's part of what we're talking about, because it does require that if you do not fully fund or fund according to the levels required in the act that's being proposed that was just released last night, then a financial management system can come in and require more contributions by the employees and for the health care portion, and it requires them to go on Medicare if they hit 65 and their dependents as well. So it really takes a lot of the negotiating part of contracts out of the hands of local government.
Ken, underfunded pensions are a major problem for local governments. I should say the state has its own underfunded pension plan problems. How are these 16 bills the solution to the municipalities' problems?
Well, the legislation, and I think you got to give credit to Snyder and the legislature for how they've approached this, at least as of late. I mean, a task force has documented the problem of unfunded liabilities at the local government level. They've made recommendations, and now you have legislation that's designed to correct the problem. Now, the legislation, to some extent, goes beyond some of the recommendations, but at the end of the day, this problem has to be solved. It's not going away. And at the end of the day, it's the retirees themselves who suffer the most if it isn't solved, whether it's the pension or the health care post-employment benefits we're talking about. I think the crux of it is the legislation establishes kind of a five-step process all the way from transparency as to whether or not they're properly funded to the final step, which is for those handful of local governments that can't solve it, you do have a state three-member financial management team that will have pretty significant powers to kind of go in and correct the problem. And I think the controversy is going to be over that final phase and the powers of this three-member financial management team, because it smacks a little bit of kind of an emergency management situation.
I was going to say they have the right to sell assets a municipality owns or take control of the budget. That's pretty much like an emergency manager. Now, I want to talk about the history. This is not a new problem. We've been hearing about this for a while. Governor Snyder, when he first came in 7 years ago, was saying, hey, we need to do something about that. And now they're really taking it seriously. How do we get here? How do we get to the point where both the state and municipal governments have these underfunded pensions? Vicki?
It's a historic problem of cutting taxes, Proposal A, which limits the amount of money that a city can collect in property taxes, combined with shifting revenue sharing away from local governments and really gutting their ability to fund these plans. I want to point out something good in the legislation, though, because we're talking about some of the horrible things. One of them is the ability now of a city to bond for these retirement benefits. I'm assuming, I haven't read further and there's no description, that the bonding that is allowable will be at a municipal rate instead of at a higher interest rate on the marketplace. That's a good thing if that's what's in here. So many communities have gone to bonding for it, but they couldn't issue them as normal municipal bonds with a lower interest rate to get a lower cost. So it's a history of people paying as you go for these benefits and not really looking forward to the actual impact on the budget going forward. There's also another problem. A lot of cities and local governments and states as well played loose and fancy with the paper funding. They used higher interest rates assumed for the investments, and so it looked on paper as if they were more funded than they actually were. And that now is off the table, and we're looking at the real numbers now. And that's the other good thing that's in this bill, is it requires you to look at the real numbers of funding. But I also want to point out the state has done nothing in these packages of bills to address the shortfall in the state employees, the state police, and the legislative underfunding in not only the retirement system, but also the retiree health care system. And I hope that's the next package of bills that they start to undertake.
Ken, when you were majority leader in the Senate, how much of a concern was this? Were you guys looking at 20 years in the future and where these underfunded pension plans might be?
Lester, in my 20 years in the legislature from 1986 through 2006, I don't recall ever having a conversation of any length or substance over this issue. It really never rose to the surface. I think this problem of underfunded post-employment benefits kind of accelerated around 2008 and 2009. There was the Great Recession. You had revenue sharing cuts that occurred because of the state budget crisis. And then, as Vicky said, you know, the kind of the seeds of it were laid back in 1994 with Prop A. It put some limits on what local governments can do in terms of property taxes and et cetera. So I just think this problem really accelerated for those three reasons around 2008 and 2009. Not that it wasn't an issue prior to that, but it didn't appear to be a really major problem prior to that in Michigan.
I disagree a little bit with Ken there. The Government Accounting Standards Board issued new rulings in the early 2000s to address this problem with underfunding and required local governments in a phased-in basis to start accounting for their shortfalls. And so I remember as mayor in 2004 and 2005, we started putting more money into our city's post-retirement benefit health care plan than we were actually putting into our retirement system. And that amounted to about $5 million each in 2004-05 and going forward to fully fund our obligations. Other governments weren't as proactive. And that's when it fully came to a head with the crash on the Great Recession of 2008, where the shortfalls really started to show up.
You know, two things occurred to me about this. The legislature is once again thinking about taking local government's authority away. And for some of the bills, the legislature has included appropriations, making it impossible for the people to take a referendum on the issue to the ballot. Fixing underfunded pension plans is important. But is it so important the state should take away local government's control of its budget and take away the right of the people to challenge an action by their state government?
No. I think, and the public has spoken very clearly on this issue of emergency managers and the state stepping in with such a heavy hand. And they originally turned down the emergency manager law, and then it was brought right back. And we've seen how effective it's been in the city of Flint and other communities where it's been applied. So I think it's a real problem. And I think that's what the real crux of the problem with these bills going forward is that emergency manager piece.
Ken, what do you think?
My answer is yes and no, in the sense that I do not agree with the idea of limiting the voters' ability to decide this at the ballot. I think the legislature should not do that. However, the yes is that there are going to be occasions where the state is going to have to step in, hopefully limited, because a local government cannot or will not solve this problem. Now, as I look at their proposed solution, I think the Snyder administration and the legislature has actually learned something from Flint in that they create a three-member management team to grapple with this versus a single emergency manager. This three-member team was actually a recommendation made by the special legislative committee that looked at Flint, and also a recommendation from the Flint Water Advisory Task Force to have more than just one person step in and try to solve the problem. So I actually give the administration and the legislature some credit for creating this three-member financial management team rather than just one emergency manager.
Is the idea that there's a little back and forth and a little more broader knowledge brought to the table? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way the legislation is crafted, you have to have one member from the community on this team. You have to have somebody with local government experience on the team. You have to have somebody with financial management experience on the team, all of which are good things. And I wish they would amend the emergency manager law to do that for emergency managers across the board.
That's Ken Sikkema. He's a former Republican legislator, and he joined us by Skype. Vicki Barnett is a former Democratic legislator. Hey, thanks for taking the time to explain these underfunded pension bills to us.
It's a serious issue. My pleasure.
Thank you.